Dynasty Radio 1382.
Understand you by and by. Take nothing less than the suffering best. Do not obey, no mistake or say, but you can pass the test. Just move on up to a greater day. With just a little of faith, if you put your mind to it, you can surely do it.
Hello, family. This is Paula Massey with the Education of the Miseducated System. I want to thank you for listening today. This is listening to Dynasty Radio 1382, the revolutionary radio for revolutionary people. This is a live call-in talk show, and I want to let you know that if you want to speak to me today, you can call me and talk to me at 646-716-7572. Press the number one, and we will put you in queue. Okay? I hope that you heard that. And if I'm on, somebody let me know that I'm on, because I'm not sure. Okay, anyway, I wasn't here last week with you guys, but I want to thank you just for listening in, listening to one of the archive shows. But I do want to talk to you today about some things that are very disturbing to me. And it's dealing with the education of us as a people as a whole. I talk about the education of the miseducated system. And a lot of times when I talk about the miseducated system, I talk about our schools, and our public schools, and our private schools, and those things like that. But today I'm going to talk to you about the educated system, the system that has... Since the time when we were here, as black people have been educating us on how we should think, how we should feel, how we should look, how we shouldn't look, what we can have, what we can't have. So once again, I looked up the word educate, and the word educate means to develop the mental, moral, or social capabilities of, especially by schooling or instruction, to provide with knowledge or training in a particular area for a particular purpose, to develop or refine one's taste or appreciation. Okay, those are the definitions that I found when I Googled those at Dictionary.com. I usually go there. So that's what I wanted to share with you today about the word educate. And I'm going to tell you why I went there. Every year in my little town, we have a Black History program. And last year we had it, the youth were able to put it together, some young people, and the theme was the Renaissance era, and in our town we had some older people who had been usually doing the Black History event, and it was usually a nice little gala event. Everybody dressed up, go, and we have a theme. One time I really enjoyed it. They had some of the original Pullman Porters, so that's what they were talking about. And I think the movie A Thousand Men Named George or something like that, 100 Men. Anyway, that's what it was about, the Pullman Porters and the history of them. So we actually had some Pullman Porters there. It was very good. They were being interviewed by this white gentleman in our community, John Lane. And it was a very, very good event. One year, not last year, 2014, but 2013, the Black History Program was canceled. I don't know why, but I got a little upset about that. Why was it canceled? What is it that we're not doing? What is it that we're doing that we can't celebrate our own history? Why did we have to cancel a program? And it might have had something to do with we couldn't get the people that they wanted to have or something. But I always say we have enough local people in our community that could tell about our history in this town, about the Black history in this town and what we've built and what we've done. And we could always bring somebody in. I guess this year they canceled it again. And I went to one of the meetings, and they were trying to, the theme was the Negro League, baseball, Negro Baseball League, which no way in the world we've been able to get anybody from there, because they most of, I think they're all dead by now. But we were trying to get a Vita Blue and somebody else to come. Vita Blue's up north in Northern California. And I guess it was a thing of the money. Now, I'm going to tell you this. We usually have this event, and we usually have it at our civic auditorium. And there's a gentleman, I mentioned his name, John Lane. He seemed like the kind of one who kind of spearheading everything. The city that I live in, City of Hanford, holds the money to this event. So we get the recreation department in it because they let us use the civic auditorium. We don't have to pay for it. But this is this is the second time that I know of that we've canceled this Black History program. And it really bothered me this time. I'm like, what is happening? What are we doing or what are we not doing that we have to cancel things that pertain to our history? We ain't got but 28 days. Come on now. So I still need to talk to some people about that. But the reason why I brought the education up into that is because just like I talked to you on the, I think it was the third of February, Tuesday. I just come back on this radio. And just like I was talking to you guys about what was happening with this principal who, a sister, mind you, a lady who looks like us, I'll put it that way. She was fired. Teachers were being fired, let go, because she no longer wanted them to teach Black History Month. And she didn't want kids to learn about Kwanzaa or nothing because there was a specific curriculum that she was going by. And these teachers wasn't going by the curriculum. So they put in their notice, and then she walked in the classroom, gave them their pink slips, and had them walk off the school grounds, you know, had them walked off in front of their students and stuff. Parents were in an outrage about that, and I know that you've seen that on YouTube or whatever, Facebook, somebody sent it to you. My whole thing, like I said last time, was, like Malcolm X said, what makes you think they're going to teach you right if they couldn't treat us right? And that's anybody in the establishment, any teacher who will buckle down, any principal who will buckle down under the system, knowing that your history is not being taught. I mean, that's a sad commentary. What I say to parents, I says, if they're not going to teach you, there's no reason to get in an uproar. It's not built in the curriculum for them to teach you. Just take a look at your child's history, but where are you in that? You may be just a little snippet. And the history that's there is not the full history. Well, your children are learning about American history and different things, and they learn about the Statue of Liberty. Are they learning about the whole history of the Statue of Liberty? How many times that thing was sent back because it looked like a Black woman and they didn't want it to look like a Black woman? It had to have more European features. That it had chains on its hands and feet. And when they sent it back, yeah, they got European look, but the chain is still on the plate because the person who built it, this is what America was, okay? You're not going to get all that. So what I tell the parents is that if you don't know a lot about your history, then you can go online, you can look. You need to teach your children. We can no longer rely on people that don't look like us, or even those who look like us, to teach our children what we want them to know. If you want your children to know about Black history, you need to find out about Black history. Simple as getting a calendar, going online, finding some place that has an African-American calendar, and it has all the birth dates and all the different things of all of our people who have gone before us during the Civil Rights Movement. If you want to start there, you can start there, find out who they were, the key players. When you pull up the key players, you're going to pull up a whole lot of other players. I mean, I pulled up Dr. Martin Luther King's mother last night and didn't realize that she was assassinated. Sitting up in the church, a black man came in there, deranged, and said Christians are all bad, and shot her in her head, and killed her and shot other people, three other people. So, you know, and how his mother, Dr. Martin Luther King's mother, was very instrumental in him continuing on in the way that he was going, being, you know, with the Civil Rights Movement. So there's a lot of things that you're not going to know about. There's things that I didn't know about. That he had a brother. He had a younger brother who, after he passed, after Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated, his brother went back to their town where he was from, and his father was going to have him be the assistant pastor of Ebenezer Baptist Church. And it was not long after that, maybe a few weeks or maybe a few weeks or days or whatever after that, he was found laying face down in his pool, dead. And they said this man was a master swimmer. And that night, they found him that morning. And his daughter was with him that night watching movies, and she said that her father was very, very distant. His wife said, I mean, there was something wrong with him. She didn't know what was going on, but he sat there looking at the TV, staring at the TV. The next morning, the daughter went on the bed, but the next morning her father found floating in the pool. So those are the things that we need to know in history. And if you want your children to know the full history behind our people who we called our leaders, or people who were in the Civil Rights Movement, or about the Black Panthers, about Malcolm X, about Betty Shabazz, I mean, those are the people that you need, and you have to go online. You have to find documentaries. I'm not talking about movies that were made by, about, you know, movies about these people, but documentaries about these people. If you go on YouTube and Like It Is, type in Like It Is with Gil Noble. Gil Noble was a gentleman, and I appreciate the work that he did in having our people interviewing them about their cause. So as parents, you have to do this. As community people, people living in your community, you have to do this, because I know that in my community, if we continue to let them say, oh, we can't get this person, or we got to pay this person too much to come to talk about, you know, baseball history or whatever, and then because we didn't get them, we have to cancel it, man, that's not flying. Sooner or later, there's not going to be too much that we're going to have that we can do, because we're allowing others to say, this is something that we can't do. This is something that is not going to happen, so you might as well cancel it. Like I said, to develop or refine one's taste or appreciation, okay? So what I'm looking at this is they have, over the years, we have sat here and we said, okay, this is the time. We're going to come together. We're getting ready for our Black History program. We started in August last year. They had their meeting, getting ready. I mean, they've been meeting for a while, and all of a sudden, we're not having it. I don't understand. I don't understand. Maybe it's the people who are doing it, the program. But that's a subject that we're going to have to look at. And people in my that I'm talking to right now, look out in your community and see what's going on. See who's running your program. See who's running your Black History program. See what money is running into your Martin Luther King Day program. Anything that you're doing that is Black, Afrocentric, see whose money is heading this up. Because whoever's money is heading this up, they're actually in charge, okay? if you want to do something, you want to have it going on a regular basis, you have to at first start coming out of your pocket. We're going to have to come out. We got the money. We just got to come out of our pocket. And if we have to plan a whole year ahead of time to do stuff, then we have to do it. If you got to hold it in the park, hold it in the park. If it's just going to be a concert, hold it in the park. Get a little permit to do it. But we can no longer allow what has been taught to us subliminally that we need your help in order to get things done. A lot of times when people have nonprofit organizations or organizations, we feel like we can't do nothing about without that token white on our group. In our group, it ain't got to happen that way. It's not. I'm telling you, it's not happening that way with anything I do. Now, I appreciate those who are of a different race. Though I appreciate those who come along and support what I do in my organization, Women with Visions Unlimited. We have some people that don't mind. We said, okay, we're getting ready to put on this program. They'll pull out $500 out of their pocket. They'll pull $800 out of their pocket. And I'm telling you what, those ain't no people that really look like us that are doing that. So I appreciate that. You know, they see a need. They see a need in the community, just like some people who march with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., they saw a need. They saw a need, and they got their head bashed in just like a lot of us that got bashed in. But as far as relying on different ones to teach our history, we got to wake up and really be educated to the fact what's going on. Marvin Gaye wrote that song, What's Going On. We really need to sit and listen to the words of that song so we could ask our questions. What is going on? And a lot of those things that our brothers and sisters wrote back in those days. I mean, you could play it right now and it's speaking volumes to where we are. Temptation, ball of confusion. People moving in because of the color of their skin. You move into the neighborhood, you see three or four more blacks moving to this nice house. New subdivision, all of a sudden you see the sale size going up because we've got racism in this community and we're not, as far as black people, they don't want us to progress. Okay. All right. I did want to talk to you about that because that was really heavy on my heart. And like I said, we are a live call-in talk show. If you want to talk to me and you want to do is dial the number that I gave you. That's 646-716-7572. Press the number 1 and we will put you in queue. Okay. I have let's see what I have here. Okay. I have about 37 minutes left on the radio show, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit something else that's going on. Like I said last time, I talked to you about what was going on with the schools, and I want to share something with you. And I always like to talk to you about the decisions that we make when we want to educate and homeschool and homeschool our children and send our schools, our children to public schools or to private schools. And I talked about this last year, and somebody just brought it to my attention that some other stuff was going on with a judge or a lawyer or a teacher or a principal or something that's going on now. He got all these years in prison for doing something crazy to some kids. I don't really know the fullness of it, but I'll get it and I'll bring it to you. But back in 2014, I talked about this. It was January 28th, it was on Tuesday, 2014. I got this email. And I want to thank you those who are sending me emails. Appreciate it. Okay. Black Power Productions sent this to me. Thank you. Like cool BTP. Let me see. They were talking about the book that Michelle Alexander wrote, The New Jim Crow. And if you haven't had an opportunity to read it, I suggest you read it. Or if you want to go on, if you're not wanting to sit there and just read through a book, go online to YouTube. The video is there. Even the video that I just got finished watching, and I'll give you the name of that as soon as I look at, see where I put the name of it at. It was a very good, it was written by another, it was called the, okay, that's not the name of it. Okay, I'll get it for you. Okay, so basically, this person wrote and they were talking about the things that were going on in the schools, and he wasn't really surprised that that was happening, but he referred to the book, the New Jim Crow book, okay? And what he did was he said one in every 15 black men in America are incarcerated, one in every 36 Hispanic men are incarcerated, and one in every 106 white men are incarcerated. Okay. And he said it doesn't take a math genius to see it in balance. But he was referring to this this thing that happened. A Pennsylvania judge was sentenced for 28 years for selling kids to the prison system. And I know this is old news and a lot of you probably had it, but I'm going to talk to you a little bit about this because we still have our children in the educational, the miseducated system. We're still sending them to school, and they're away from us 8, 9, 10 hours a day. More than that if we have them in the sports and stuff like that. And if your school is anything like our school here, I could count the number of black teachers in all of our schools in this area, in Kings County, California, black teachers, and I could count them on both hands and probably give you a couple of fingers back. I hope I don't have to, but I probably could. I find that that's why it's so important as me and the people that I work with in the community that we are advisors for our black student union in the schools that we're in. We're there as advisors to working with our children, but we also are there as eyes to see what's going on. Our ears to the ground, we hear from our young people. We want to know what's going on in the campus. Who's new on the campus? Any more teachers? What's happening? How are the race relations? How is bullying? What's going on? That's what we want to know. Anything with any teachers? So here's this judge here. He was sentenced to 28 years for selling kids to the prison system. And he was convicted of 12 counts, including racketeering, money laundering, mail fraud, and tax evasion. He was ordered to also repay $1.2 million in restitution. He had a program called Kids for Cash. It was a Kids for Cash program has revealed that corruption is indeed within the prison system, mostly driven by the growth in private prisons seeking profits by any means. So apparently, he was convicted of accepting money in exchange for incarcerating thousands of adults and children into the prison by a prison owned by a developer who was paying him under the table. I'm going to say here. What was happening was a dangerous gap in the juvenile justice system of many states' children appearing in court without lawyers. This man, he sentenced thousands of young people, funneling into two private detention centers, prosecutors say were run by his friends who slipped him payments in a cash for kids scheme. Now, I'm going to get to the whole thing about this. Okay. This state, and this was in Scranton, Pennsylvania, has expunged more than 6,000 records of youth that this man, Mr. Ciavarelli, sentenced, some for crimes as small as stealing a jar of nutmeg. Whatever was happening in the school, there were things that were also, there were school teachers that were involved. There was a couple of school teachers that were involved in this, coaches. What happened was things would happen in school. sag in his pants, walking around with a comb in his hair, chewing gum, you know, cell phone use, whatever it was. These kids were sent to the principal. So what the principal did was the principal expelled them, suspended them. They had to go to court. Police were called up. Reports were written with them. So now these kids got a court date. And guess who they're being sent to? This judge here. This judge said, 6 months, 10 months, and he's sending them all to this private prison. A lot of these kids didn't have lawyers because they can't afford a lawyer. And maybe there was no public defender's office. Is there a public defender for a youth anyway? I don't know. So this is what was happening. And I say this to say this. I say that to say this. That in our educational system, family, we really need to look and see what's going on in school. I don't see, we may have more children graduating and going to college and stuff like that. But when I live in my small town and I see that twice that I know of, that our Black History program has been canceled since 2013 was canceled, and 2015 was canceled. And when I see that, and I see that fact that I'm an African-American woman in this community who, back in 2012, took it upon 2013, I went to all 8 schools in our community, which had after-school programs, and Tuesdays and Thursdays for those 4 weeks, I went to all 8 of those schools, and I taught a Black History lesson to the after-school kids. The following year, I decided, well, you know, I had to load up all the stuff and get lesson plans and stuff together. I'm going to charge them $50. I mean, they got the budget to do it. They get a budget every year. So I talked to them at the beginning of the year, let them know what I want to do. I had 2 schools last year that want me to come, and 2 more schools, and the same 2 schools this year. And I look at that, and I said, they don't want their children to learn Black history. They're so busy in the learning how to take a test that these students are not getting what they need. And then our students are getting in trouble. But I tell you this, when it comes to Cinco de Mayo or any of those other days, they're going to have their people up there. Oh, yeah, they're going to be doing their little mariachi music. They're going to be talking about, they may talk a little bit about Cinco de Mayo. They're going to talk about Cesar Chavez. And those are some of the things that they're going to do. But I bet they're going to have them up there. And they may even have an assembly where they're going to pay them a whole lot more than what I'm asking, the little piddly things that I'm asking to do. I'm just asking so I can load my car and put a little gas in my car and you know, a little change in my pocket, nothing much. But when I see things like that happen in our community, it's time to wake up. It's time to band our youth together. In a town that's close by me, 45 minutes north of me, which is Fresno, California, I just heard on the TV, radio, I was listening to the radio in the car, that they're showing Hidden Colors 1. They did that on the 7th of February. The 14th of February, they had showed Hidden Colors 2. And they had one of the former professors from the junior college. He was over the Black Studies program. He was showing it, and he was doing discussion. And Hidden Colors of the 3 is going to be on coming up Saturday. And there's going to be discussion by one of the community leaders there. So I'm interested in going, and I'm glad that that's happening. I'm going so I can see how they're doing it so I can bring it to my community. And these are the things that we as community-minded people have to do. We have to get up off our behinds and get out there and find out what other cities are doing. If you live in a small town, you have major cities all around you. Find out, go online, go onto your free speech radio, go onto their community calendar, because a lot of people post, okay, post what's going on. So we need to get up and we need to do that to find out what's actually happening and be a part of what's happening. Take some youth with you so you can know, so they can know that this is something they can be a part of. They don't have to wait till they get to be our age to participate in these things and really like it. Get them out there, because I know that my young people that I have, that I'm working with at BSU, I mean, they love getting out. They love doing stuff. The STEP team that I form with these young girls, I mean, they're constantly, where's the next place we're going to perform? So my whole thing is to get them where they need to be so they can be exposed to more other positive young people and get some information that's going to benefit them in the long run. If your children are in high school and there's not a Black student union on their campus, but there are Black teachers, you can always go to the principal and find out, you know, what does it take to start a Black student union or Black student, whatever, United, whatever they want to call it, on that campus? And I know here and where I'm at, we have to have a teacher that's willing to sponsor that. And the sponsor means this: take the time out of your lunch twice a month or once a month, whatever y'all going to meet, to open the classroom, to have the students there, and you're overseeing the program. And the outside people like me, you, would come in, and we would teach the children how to hold the meeting. What did it take to hold the meeting? And how do you hold offices? And how do you plan for events and things that you want to do, along with fundraising and also with volunteer work? So that's what it needs to be done. So if you don't have it at your school, or even if you do, join yourself so you can really know what's going on there. Okay? You need to be a part of that. If you have children that are in school, you need to find out what's going on at the school. Okay? If they have a sex education class, that's what I call it. I don't know what they call it, knife life studies, whatever they want to call it now. You need to be able to volunteer, put your information in, and go and volunteer and say, oh, when you go to the office, sign it, I'm going to go sit in the life studies class. Oh, okay. After a while, they'll know you. And you can just go in the class and sit in there, and the teacher don't have to know you coming, just go and I'm sitting in there. And if you come in there just a little bit late, that's even better, because now they're inside, they're talking about what they're going to already talk about. And you're just coming in there in the middle of that, and now they can't change it. And if they change it, you know it's going to be an abrupt change, because they don't want you to hear what they're talking about. World history, American history, any kind of class, you have a right to go on that campus. Especially if you're a volunteer at that school. Oh, yeah, volunteer yourself so you can know what's going on. Like I said, this is a live caller show. If there's anybody out there that would ask me a question, I'm open to answer your questions. Ask your questions. Answer your questions. We only have, this is February, March, April, May, 3 months. We only have like 3 months, and usually about that last month, everybody's kind of shutting down as far as school is. The teachers are getting everybody tested, getting them ready to get out of school so they can go for their summer months. So we got 3 more months, March, April, and May. June, I don't know. Some schools may go on a little bit longer because of the weather that we're having back east. And we've had some very, very bad foggy days, but I don't think out here we're going to have too much extending our summer. Like I said, you'll have 3 months. And this is the time that you need to really start looking at where your student is, if you still have them in the public school, even if you have them in private school, even if you have them in a co-op program that you are working in. This is a time that you need to pull your teachers aside, say, I'd like to have a meeting. Don't have a meeting with them. I usually say go to the your parent-teacher conferences, but let's undo the norm. Because they have so many parents coming in, and they're only going to allow you so much time to talk to that teacher. Then the next person outside, two other parents are waiting, and because you know now you done gone over your 10-15 minutes. So make an appointment to see what's going on with your child at their school. Make an appointment. I said, I'd like to make an appointment with you to go over my child's progress. I'd like to see some of their classwork, if you have some of their classwork, if you have a portfolio. And I'd like to also look at their cumulative folder and their behavior folder and see what they produce. Okay? Do that so you can find out. Make an informed decision of what's going to take place next year. Family, you need to really be in tune with the curriculum. Also, this is a time that they're still planning for school. And this is also the time that you find out when your school has a site council meeting. A lot of times, like I always said, we always want to jump over things and run right to the bull. But we got to get through the calf first. And this is the site council meeting. A few years back, I talked about how our federal government had divvied down money for education to the states. And the states had divvied this money out to the cities. The cities divvied them out to the counties, and the counties divvied them out to the school districts, and the school district said, principal, this is your money, you handle your money. So a lot of what goes on in these schools, the principal has a lot to say about how the money is being spent. So the way you're going to find out what's going on in the school, what they have planned for next year, is to find out when they have those site council meetings. They usually have a little snack. I know I hear they usually have snacks. And I'm telling you, my children are out of school. I have a 36-year-old and a 34-year-old. But I tell you what, I've gone to the site council meeting, not even having any children in school, just to see what they're talking about. And they have two meetings. One is for the Hispanic parents out here. They speak everything in Spanish. And then they have another one for those who speak American. And when I went into there, that Hispanic meeting, man, they had parents wall to wall, husbands and wives, boyfriends, girlfriends, whoever they were there with their to find out what was going on. And then in the other meeting I went to, where people talk like me, I was there. I was black. I was the only black one there. But there's a lot of white people there. A lot of, you could tell they were probably stay-at-home moms. You had a lot of the teachers there because their students are in these schools also. But it wasn't me. It wasn't they and me here, there. And the things that they're talking about. So when you sit in a site council meeting and you say that, and you hear that they got this money to put back into their school, and they decide that they're going to take the majority of the money and put it to a new phone system where it's going to cost them only 10 cents, pennies on a dime to make a call, and then the leftover money, they're going to get books that are needed in the kindergarten and first grade and have them share those books and also buy an easel that the kindergarten classes and the first grade classes can share. There's something wrong with that picture. I didn't even live in that district. But I was asked to go and sit in, and I did. Because, a parent was having problems. They took their children out of the private school that I was running, and they wanted to put them back in the public school because they didn't want to pay the tuition, which I only charge them $100 a month. That's not a whole lot compared to what you would be paying. So, you know, to see things like that, you know that it's time for you to be a part and get the your school's curriculum list. We know that most of the schools now have gone to Common Core. Maybe by now they have a curriculum for Common Core, but you need to voice your opinion, mom, dad, auntie, uncle, grandma, grandpa, whoever you are. You need to be up in their face. When are y'all going to get a curriculum? Do y'all have a curriculum? When are you going to get a curriculum? Do you have a curriculum? The more that you do that, the more that you're going to put the fire underneath them and let them know that I'm concerned about my child. And then you're going to look at their, and then you're going to go in online and the greatschools.org or the .com or .org. You're going to look up there, you're going to look up that school, and you're going to see what the API is. You're going to see exactly where they stand as far as their testing scores. Are they meeting their test scores? Or are they in jeopardy of the state coming in and shutting those schools down? Because if your school is not meeting what they're supposed to be meeting, you as a parent have a right to enroll your child in another school that is meeting those needs of those students, the academic needs. Greatschools.org or .com. So what I'm telling you, there's some things that I'm going to just repeat right now. You got 3 months before school ends. Some 3.5 months, I put 3 months. At this time, you need to make an appointment with your child's teacher after school. I said, I'd like to talk to you about my child's academic progress. I like to also take a look at the cumulative folder and the behavioral folder. That's the first thing. And you're doing it not when they're doing teacher's conference, and don't let them sift you into a teacher's conference when they're doing parent-teacher conferences, because you're only going to have a few minutes, okay? You're only going to have a few minutes before, and they only go... They're instructed to show you this. You're not going to get into a whole lot about your child, okay? You're going to have to make another appointment anyway, so don't let them. Just make your appointment now. Get in there and find out what's going on with your student. Get that information. And then you're going to want to make it to the site council meeting. You're going to go on your school district website, and you're going to see meetings. You're going to see site council meeting for this school, site council. Each school has its own site council. That's why they call it the site council. So each school has their own site council. So you're going to find out when that meeting is, and you're going to go in there, you're going to sit, and you're going to listen to what they're going to say. Take your notes. You're going to see who's there, who's not there. So that's what you're going to do with that. Then you're going to go, and possibly if you need to go to the school board meeting, you're going to do that. Now, going back into the community, when I was talking at first about the Black History Program, you're going to find out what's going on in your community. You could go through your free speech radio. We had KPFA here, and that's what KPFA, one of those radio stations. I go online and I look and see what's going on in the calendar, and I post things on the calendar, too. It's free. So you're going to find out what's going on in your community, and you're going to find out who's funding, what money is backing those programs up, and those are the programs that you want to be a part of. Or is there something that you could bring to the table? You're going to go ahead and go into the school. As a volunteer, you're going to volunteer at the school. You're going to become a part of the Black Student Union or whatever they call it. You're going to become a part of that. You're going to be a volunteer at the school. Yes, you're going to have to go to an orientation. They're going to talk about sexual harassment. They're going to talk about a lot of stuff. Watch these videos. You're going to do your fingerprint at the police department. You're going to bring your TB test, all that stuff. But that's going to get you into school where you can come and go as a volunteer. You're going to go there, you're going to sit in these classes that you may be interested in, because you want to know what students are learning in these classes. And then as a community as a whole, as parents as a whole, grandparents, the caregivers of our children, you're going to learn a whole lot more about Black history. Like I said, this is the Black History Month. We only got 28 days here. But if you want to start teaching your children, you need to start teaching. You cannot rely on the schools to teach them. And I'm just recapping what I've already talked about. You just need to, like I said, start off with an African-American calendar. Find out who's who. Start off with the civil rights leaders, Fannie Lou Hamer and all these other different people. You need to find out. I know that like this is the month of February. And was that said this was Black History Month? So let me give you some dates. Rosa Parks was born February 4th in 1913. Bob Marley was born February 6th, 1945. Huey P. Newton was born actually today. It's his birthday. Yay. 1942. Okay. And we all know that our beloved brother, our ancestor Malcolm X, he died on February 20th, 1965. And our very famous brother, Khalid Muhammad, he died on this day in 2001. W.E.B. Du Bois, he was born February 23rd. 1868. So we got some great people. So from just those few people, you could pull up all kind of information and find out who is who and what is what. Atlanta Star. They're posting a lot of things on Facebook right now about our history. So if you could just type in Atlanta Star, I guess it's a newspaper. You find a lot of different things in the archive about our history. And you can print those things up and use those as a teaching tool. Matter of fact, I have a big 3-inch binder here that I'm going to have to take it up another notch because I got too many papers coming up out of it. That I keep, when I find stuff like this, I keep it in a folder and I buy the tabs. And that's I'll buy some protective sheets. It all depends. What I want to do, if I have a video or a DVD to go with it, I'll put it in a plastic sheet along with that DVD. So when I need to talk about it, I have it. Or if I want to study or want to look at it for more, I have it. Let your children see you doing things like that. Let your children see you looking online, not just playing solitaire or any slot games or whatever it is, not playing games, but actually looking online and doing some research and gather them around you. Especially if you have a laptop, gather them around you and say, we're going to look at this. I want y'all to come see this video, whatever you want to do. Let them see you being interested in your history and get them interested because children want to know. Eventually, they're going to know about who am I, where am I from, why is my skin color different than anybody else's skin color, why am I being bullied? Why do we have to live in a project when all these other people live in other houses? Why do we have to have food stamps? So a lot of those things, they're gonna ask those questions, and all those things have a beginning point in our history. The things that were put in place for us so we won't succeed. You could teach them about Black Wall Street. That's something that you can teach them about, Black Wall Street, and tell them about the affluent neighborhood that was there. So I just want to say I want to thank you guys for listening to me today for the education of the miseducated system. This is Paula Massey on the line. And like I said, I got about 4 more minutes. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up for you. I'm going to share one other piece of information with you. And I'm just going to randomly pull something out. This is something I was going to talk to you about I think I did talk to you about it the last time, but I'm just going to a reminder. I'll read this here. This is what I'll do. And this is by Carter G. Woodson. And he wrote The Miseducation of the Negro in 1933. Remember, what you do for yourself is based on what you think about yourself. Blacks are the only group of people who take their most precious possession, their children, and ask their oppressors to educate them and to mold and shape their minds. Wow. Mr. Carter G. Woodson gave that quote in 1933. There's a website I want to turn you on to. It's called the AfricanHistoryNetwork.com. You might want to check that out. Let's see what it says. Let me see. I think it was the African History Network. Okay. It's not African American. It's African. The African History Network. I got to put the T-H-E in front of it. Okay. So in this website, you're going to get, this is something else that you could get. One of the things they say here is the right knowledge corrects wrong behavior. So you're going to visit this website. They're going to have different videos on here. They have a marketplace where you can order stuff, buy stuff. So you can do search and see what the searches look like. You can do search on here. You can type in something that you're going to search, and I'm going to type in Huey Newton. Okay. And see what it comes up. Let's do it here. Okay, now they have this thing. Okay, what I typed in didn't show up, but it says, I typed in their African History Show, and it talked about the Empowerment Radio Network. So this is, you could get this radio app, and you can listen to different things that they're talking about. You can download it. Okay. And Michael Imhotep, he's the one who runs this show. So you can have different people, and you can listen to it live by phone, just like you're listening to me. Okay. And so this is like Dr. Linda Jeffries, Dr. Phil Valentine. You got all these different people that are just on the air. So you want to just be able to take a look at it. And the name of the book that I was talking about that I was looking at is the Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome. Okay? I was looking at that video the other day by the lady who wrote the book. And like I said, if you can't sit and you can't read the book, you have too much to do, but you can pull it up on your computer, plug it into your TV, and watch it on your big screen, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it to sit down as a family at least once a week. I mean, if you have that time, to go over a video on a Saturday evening or Saturday morning while you're getting yourselves up, you're getting a nice little Saturday morning breakfast because you've been rushing all week long. So this is the time to do something with your children. So I just want to let you know that I'm glad that you were here with me today for the Education of the Miseducated System at Dynasty Radio Network, 1382. And I'm going to be signing off. So you guys have a wonderful, wonderful week, and I will see you next week, same time, same place.
Just move on.
Dynasty Radio, 1382.